Welcome to the Wheat and the Chaff. I'm Ryan.
I'm Travis.
And we hope you're having a good week. I think we took last week off, right?
Because we've taken a few weeks off because I was out of town.
Yeah, you were out of town.
And it's been busy.
He was with his wife in London and Paris.
Yes, I was getting all Euro classy.
Yeah.
It was good.
Yeah, it's awesome. It is pretty cool. So we took a few weeks off, but we're back. And today, the day we're recording this, is actually Halloween.
Halloween.
All right, so guess what we're going to be talking about today?
John Kennedy. Joel Osteen. Benny Hinn.
We're going to be talking about All Hallows Eve.
All Hallows Eve. Should you do something for it? Should you be dressing up as anything? What are the great perspectives of pop culture, church culture, and of course, just your ridiculous? Let me start it off like this. Then I will kick this one off with a quick anecdote.
Okay.
I woke up this morning, got going, popped onto Facebook for a brief moment to just catch up with the rest of the world, and of course, one of the first things that I see on my Facebook was a pastor colleague of mine who basically was like, I will not say Happy Halloween today, for of course, that would be honoring to like Beelzebub or something like that.
Of course.
He's like, at the same time, you know, this used to be Hallows Eve. All Hallows Eve is a saint's preparation day, but it's lost its context. So he goes, I will dig deeper and I will go with Happy Reformation Day. Because apparently today is also Reformation Day.
Yeah.
So all hail Martin Luther.
All hail.
Anyway, it was the classic, right? Like of like, oh, and here we go. We're not even like 2 hours into the day, because this was like at 6:30, 7 o'clock in the morning. We're like, we're not even more than like an hour into the day, and someone is already like, boom, Halloween is of the devil, and anybody who participates in it on any level is obviously like damned for forever, and you know, possibly a secret Satan lover. So I was having one of those mornings where I had a lot of chuckles. It's been a busy morning, but I've had a lot of chuckles over it so far.
I feel like I should be friends with some of your friends on
Facebook. I feel like you should, for the sheer amusement of it.
Yeah, just for entertainment purposes.
Completely entertainment. That is what a lot of my friends offer us in life, is just good entertainment value. I love all my friends. Really, if you're entertaining me, thank you.
So let's start this off with just kind of giving some background.
Sure.
Of how we celebrated Halloween as individuals growing up.
Oh, yes.
So I'll start off. I grew up in a Southern Baptist church, but there was no mention of like you should or shouldn't do Halloween. So my
did you have a Jack Chick track in the foyer to let you know exactly? No, oh,
I don't remember. I don't think we did. Maybe we did.
You're missing out on the good stuff,
man. Yeah. So my parents would take me to my aunt's house, and me and my cousin, we were the only like kids in the family. Me and my cousin, this was my dad's side, we would go to and around my aunt's neighborhood and go trick-or-treating. And, you know, we'd dress up in costumes and we'd go to, I remember there were two like really scary houses that we'd go to. This one house, it was all dark and his door was open except his storm door was closed. And it was all dark and there was this creepy music playing. And when you'd come up and ring the doorbell, this creepy looking old guy with the old guy mask would come slowly walking out of the shadows, and you'd have to take the candy. And then there was another one where this house is down a hill and it had a carport, and the guy would come, you'd start walking down these stairs and the guy would come, you'd hear this like dragging sound, like, and he would come dragging his leg out of the carport, out of his like garage area.
Was it at least attached leg, or was he like?
Oh yeah, it was attached leg.
He wasn't like, you know, like some.
It's like he was walking like a
fake leg, and he's just like got it chucked over his shoulder, you know, connected to a chain.
He would be like dragging one of his legs behind him, and you'd have to go get candy from him.
Wow,
so
that's dark, man.
It is dark, but man, it's good stuff. It's good memories. So we'd celebrate Halloween, and I don't remember anybody ever teaching at our church like this is, you know, the devil's holiday and you shouldn't do this. It was only when I got older, and I remember when I was in college, I remember doing it was Halloween night, and there was a handful of us that got together to do a prayer vigil.
Okay.
And you know, we talked about
to hold back the evil forces in like a very Frank Peretti style.
Yes.
Okay.
And like I remember we talked
this piercing the darkness kind of thing going on where you guys all gather and like three angels are actually hovering around you with like their shields over the top of you while the massive storm cloud that's turning into a twister that's really a talon of a demon is coming down.
And what's funny is afterwards we talked about how we could feel the dark presence
Woo!
While we were praying, but then it was lifted while we kept praying.
Mm.
And so
I'm waving a white hanky if you can't see it right now.
Yes, yes. And so that was kind of my context of Halloween. And so you know when you get to be a pastor, then it's like you get the guilt trips from
everybody.
Like you celebrate Halloween. How dare you open your children up to the forces of Beelzebub?
And of course, if you're in New England, you actually get the dual guilt trip, because from within the church you get the how dare you celebrate Halloween? How could you, you know, give this great, you know, glory to the evil one on his day? But if you're outside the church, you're like, why are you not celebrating Halloween? What kind of weirdo isolationist fundamentalist are you? Right? Like, so you really can't win no matter what you do.
No.
On Halloween, you're damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Amen to that.
I had the opposite experience of you growing up because I moved.
I figured you did.
So I do not remember. I don't remember a lot of like when we lived like in Chicago area. I don't remember when I was smaller what we did. So I'm assuming we must have done something, but I just do not recall. My Halloween memories kick in when we moved down to Alabama.
Oh, yeah.
And we moved to a Word of Faith church
that
did have Jack Chick tracks in the foyer, which now I look back and go, what an odd kind of like paradox, right? Like a juxtaposition to have a Word of Faith kind of name it, claim it. It's all about the high charismatic experience. And then to have something as fundamentalist as a Jack Chick track on your little bookshelf, you know, spinny thing. Like, you know those things in the foyer that used to have, like, they had the little spinny carts. Really, really odd, kind of comparison there. But that was the way they rolled. So my first initial, I remember Jack Chick actually letting me know that Halloween was when the demons would come out and eat the souls of all the children who threw the candy. So if you ingested the candy, you were actually ingesting the demons.
And you're calling my experience dark?
mine actually might be a little darker now that I think about
new,
it.
That's
yeah.
a whole new level.
Yeah, that's true. You just got a little thrill. I was being told that demons were eating me from the inside out through a Snickers bar.
Yes.
But no, we ended up... So our church did not participate in Halloween. It was very, very verboten. Like, you would not in any way, shape, or form participate in anything. So I remember going like 4th, 5th, 6th grade... in Alabama and between Gulf Shores and Foley, and you didn't dress in any Halloween colors, right? Like, you didn't do any. I was always the kid who looked the odd man out because the rest of the class would come dressed as something, like they'd have like a, you know, costume day, and I would be, of course, the kid dressed in my khakis and polo, which is what I wore a lot because I was a nerd. But it was also like, so partially it was because that was just like what I was comfortable wearing, but it was also because, you know, I wasn't giving any credence to the devil by dressing up as Winnie the Pooh, right? Like, so it was just not going to happen. And our church, of course, did the very, very classic move, which is to try to, quote-unquote, redeem the day. And so they would offer their Christianese version of Halloween. So we had Hallelujah Night and fall festivals.
Oh, yeah.
Those were, but Hallelujah Night was the big one. That would be the one where, you know, you would come to the church where people would have basically just set up tables, not super decorated or anything, but kind of just tables full of candy. And you were encouraged to dress as, of course, a Bible character, preferably one of the good ones, right? Like, I found out very, very, very looked down upon if you dress as Job, because, like, he just seemed to always be miserable. It was very looked down upon if you dressed as Judas, because we all know he was a jerk.
What about the Witch of Endor?
The Witch of Endor. Jezebel was right out. Of course, if I was going to go down now, I would go down dressed as Beth Moore and just shock everyone. I'd be like, hey, Beth Moore in the house.
That one,
if you're not a church nerd like us, that one actually works on so many different levels. Oh, and we'll have to get into that on a further episode, because we haven't had time to cover Beth and John and the great divide that is the Christian church some days.
Oh, my.
But dress as Beth Moore for Halloween. I highly suggest it, especially if you're a guy. It will just throw so many levels of shade at everybody.
Yes,
it will. But anyway, that was my experience, was dressing up for Hallelujah Nights. Everybody either dressed up as like King David. Everybody wanted to be King David.
So they were encouraged to dress as King David and an adulterer.
It's okay to be an adulterer who also murders people for fun.
And possibly you could almost see that as like not just an adulterer, but could possibly qualify that as rape, because, you know, he didn't have his authority to sleep with somebody that was not his wife.
Right, but a lot of times you went as King David, who the shepherd boy, so it was like, you know, you got to wear the crown because you were still King David, but you also carried oftentimes the shepherd's crook, and that way people would know that you're the pure, innocent King David who wasn't defiled by power.
Okay.
Or a lot of times they just overlooked that part of the story because it was not very convenient. And so we just like King David. But right. Yeah, King David was good because, I mean, you know, I wanted to go with Solomon one year, and that was talked down because they're like, you know, he really wasn't that wise in the end because he had a harem.
Oh.
Which, what about Noah? I got to tell you, at 11, I actually did not realize he had a harem. I really wasn't quite sure what that was. Now I look back and go like, let's bring on the Solomon.
Could you go as Noah?
You could go as Noah, regardless, again, of his... Yeah, again...
So the drunkard...
So the drunkard... His new drunkenness is just... Again, we just don't talk about these things.
Can you imagine? You show up without wearing anything. Holding a wine bottle. Like, what are you?
With two floozies. With two floozies by your side.
Could you go as Lot?
Actually, so honestly, now I look back and there's a part of me that wishes I could jump back into this culture for the fun of it. There's part of me that says I would not necessarily want my kids to be in it, but I would love for them to be in it if they could live into their full snarkiness, because I would love to go as like Noah's son who just walks backwards with the blanket.
What about Lot?
As long as I got to hold a salt shaker. I would be like, I'd like to introduce you to my wife. Shake, shake, shake. Hashtag too soon.
Go with Lot and his two daughters.
Right. You know, so like, yeah, there's so many things I look back at and I'm like, you know, this was kind of odd that the things that were looked down upon and were kind of like almost like deeply feared, really, is what it comes down to. At the same time, there was this complete obliviousness to the ridiculousness of the stuff that was being substituted. Like, it didn't make any difference. Now, I do remember this. I don't know if you went through this. I don't know if... Because, I mean, we're about the same age, so it's going to be in the same era. But I don't know if it actually happened in your era. But we actually had, in our, like, county, we had the classic... Someone was putting stuff into the candy, like staples. And like that.
My parents used to have to check.
And so that I had to
check the candy before I could eat it.
Yeah, I think that also led to some of that kind of stuff. Of like, it was a part of it was like a safety, just for safety's sake. Yep. Because I remember like that was like a really weird time. It was like late 80s, early 90s, and there was like this whole thing about people putting crap into like Starbursts, and you'd eat the Starbursts, and suddenly like, find you have like a staple or a razor blade.
You weren't supposed to take candy apples because that was like weren't wrapped at all, and
right?
So they could just. Put a razor blade,
right? Into like a candy apple. So there was like that sense of like people. I think fear in general, like security issues in general. But then a lot of it was also this spiritual fear, because this was the era of piercing the darkness, and this was the era where that kind of stuff was really, really, you know, the spiritual warfare age had kind of kicked in that late 80s.
Yeah.
Everything was very high spiritual warfare, and so I think that led to it, that sense of, you know, if we give in, we might as well just let the big dark cloud talon come down and eat us from the inside.
Apparently, my parents weren't too worried about it, because I'd go to houses where creepy old guys would come out of the darkness and dragging their legs, and they weren't too concerned about anything. But yeah, so my question is now, given our context, and that, you know, today Halloween is still a controversial subject amongst churches, and so like with our church, we just did a trunk or treat.
Mm-hmm.
We just say, hey, you know, decorate your trunks, dress in costumes. We invite kids. And we just tell, I always tell our people that if you're going to wear a costume, don't wear anything creepy or scary, because we don't want to scare the kids.
Right.
Not that I'm like saying we're going to worship demons and we worship them creepy and scary. But if the kids come dressed as something creepy or scary, we're not going to say you can't take part.
Here's the thing about creepy and scary. that I've always now, again, as I've gotten older, and you and I have talked a little bit about this over the years. But if you read the Bible on any level, but especially if you read the New Testament, especially if you get into like, you know, Revelations, but also like just the New Testament in general, God can be quite scary.
Oh yeah,
right. You know what I mean? Like God shows up in some ways that are actually terrifying, right? Like you think about the idea of like, oh, you know, Herod proclaims himself as, you know, the greatest king, and maggots eat him from the inside out, right? Like he falls over dead and is eaten, right? I mean, you know,
what about
Ananias and Sapphira, right? Like just fall over dead in the house church. I mean, kind of awkward.
When Christ returns and he comes walking, we're like he's going to walk into a wine press.
Right. I mean, there's that. I mean, even the whole, like, you know, Jesus returns and the flaming sword out of his mouth. I mean, like, all this stuff. Like, there's some scary imagery in the Bible about who God is. And so this was one of those things where I now look back and I'm like, somehow we both, like, are afraid of this one night that only really traditionally has any kind of spiritual night of darkness connotation, right? Like, there's nothing scriptural that speaks to it, like, right? There is no Halloween in the Bible. But then we've also whitewashed the actual disturbing imagery that the scriptures, the prophets, and even Jesus paint about himself for especially the time of judgment. Which, again, I'm not necessarily saying one thing or another there. I'm just saying it's kind of interesting that, you know, we want to promote this, like, don't scare the children. I'm like, have you read the Bible?
There are some
moments in there where, like, when it's talking about God coming in the fullness of his glory, it is terrifying to those who don't believe.
Yeah.
And to those who do.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, John of Patmos still falls down dead at the feet of Jesus because he's paralyzed, right? Like, he's...
Isaiah thought he was going
to
die.
Every single angel visitation has to be met with, do not be afraid.
Yes.
Why? Because they are.
Yeah.
You know?
Because they're terrified.
Yeah. So I'm just saying, like, it just seems to me like it's an interesting thing to try to shy away from every now and then.
Yeah. So I think that... So here's the thing, and I think this is kind of gets into the how Christian culture collides with the culture of the world today. Is I think we need to stop with, you know, when you're talking about Halloween, if you're a church that doesn't want to celebrate Halloween, don't celebrate Halloween, you know.
Right.
But I would also say...
I don't think there's judgment if you don't want to practice it. Like, no, I don't think there should be any condemnation or judgment of like, oh, you're somehow, you know, outside the will of God or you're... No, it's like, no. I think you can totally choose to not participate without any judgment.
I would say this. But also, if there are people in your congregation that do celebrate Halloween with their kids, don't make them feel bad for doing that. Because, and here's the other thing: maybe if you're not going to celebrate Halloween as a church, don't say we're hosting a fall festival and make it look exactly like Halloween, but you call it a fall festival.
Oh, because, I totally bobbed for apples on Hallelujah night.
Oh yeah,
it was actually really cool because it was like, you know, you try to get in there with the cute girl.
Yeah,
I mean, just being frank, right? Like, you know, you're 10 years old, and
oops,
you're like,
I
"Hey,
the apple."
Exactly. Like, hey, we're side by side, cheek by cheek, quote unquote, bobbing for apples. Again, I look back and I go, "This was awful. This was an awful, awful childhood experience. Like, that was just wrong." But it's definitely one of those things. I mean, I appreciate you know, you and I both read Mike Frost and some of his, you know, missiological books, and I always appreciate his view when it comes to the church, which is, it's one of the few days/nights of the year where people are willingly coming to your home, right? They're just walking up, or they don't mind you walking up to theirs, right? Like, it's one of the few times in our entire year where people actually willingly open their door to anyone for any reason, which is, you know, in his mind, it's an opportunity for the church to go and be a little salt and light in a good way. And again, you know, a good way is not like, hey, I brought you 5 Chicks tracks.
No.
You know, just...
Do not give tracks instead of candy.
Okay, that was the other thing. When growing up, we were always highly encouraged to not drop candy, but to drop true reward. The true reward that kids would need.
Like,
because that Starburst only lasts for a moment. But that gift of salvation, it lasts for a lifetime.
So Jimmy Needham is a guy. He's a Christian artist, you know, singer.
Yeah.
And he... For several years now, he talks about redeeming Halloween, and what he does is he buys a ton of the giant size candy.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You know, those are the houses that all the kids want to know.
Yes,
I want to know where the giant sized candy bars are because I'm going there.
Do you have kids coming to your house?
No, because we live on a busy road.
Same here. Like, we're on the main road, right? Like, so we just don't have it. There's no foot traffic.
That's why we did start doing trunk or treat at our church. So I'll get into that in a minute.
Yeah.
But so Jimmy, he, you know, they buy all these king sized candy bars and gives them out. But through that, I think when you walk up to his house, because he kind of have the walkway, you know, he, you know, will have signs, you know, pointing people to the gospel, not in a cheesy way, but in a real way. And it's like, yes, that's how you do it. That's what you should do, because you know that your community is, their kids are going to be out, just like you were saying.
Yeah.
It's an opportunity to be able to share the gospel if you can, if the opportunity arises. If not, no big deal. You're still giving out candy and you're still saying, hey, hope you have a good time. You guys look great in your costumes or whatever. And yeah, the reason our church started doing trunk or treat is because we live on a busy road.
Yeah.
No trick-or-treaters ever come to our house because it's such a busy road and the sidewalks are kind of sketchy. And so we started doing trunk or treat to say, like, this gives kids an opportunity to wear their costumes again.
Yeah.
It's during the day.
Yep.
It's safe. They can park in our parking lot. We have a little turnaround in the front, a little half circle turnaround.
Yep.
So that's where we park the cars. And, you know, we did it Saturday. We had probably over 100 people show up, you know, coming through. It was a nice day. And it's just an opportunity to reach out to our community. And, you know, we could make the stand and say, like, no, this is the devil's holiday and this is that. But we're not going to, because, like, no, this is an opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus. Because here's the thing. When you start getting into, you know, pointing fingers at these holidays and things like that and these different celebrations and all this kind of stuff, you're going to end up being a hypocrite somewhere. Because it's like, no, we don't celebrate Halloween. Yet we put a Christmas tree up at Christmas.
Or you give gifts. And you know, why would you give gifts when, you know, that you probably shouldn't be giving it to the poor? I feel like the flip side to any kind of celebration is the Judas moment of, you know, well, you could have done this with it instead, right?
Yeah.
Like, that was Judas's criticism, right? His critical, kind of hypocritical spirit is like, why is this money being used here when it could have been done over here? And of course, when you realize that Judas is actually embezzling it, you realize even his heart there is not one that's, you know, properly motivated. But I feel like, yeah, that's the problem, right? Is that you can nitpick any holiday or any celebration and try to find the, you know, why you shouldn't or why it should be done some other way. I think ultimately, I think there's this aspect of, especially from a church point of view, like every holiday, especially, and I would actually go as far as to say any holiday, even ones that are not simply white evangelical holidays, is an opportunity for your church to make a mark in its community and for your church to do something in its community that says, we're here, we care about you, we love you, we stand with you, and we're for you, right? So I remember, you know, trying to, you know, we would even have discussions with, you know, places of other faiths to find out, like, you know, how can we support you during your holidays in a way that, again, minister, supports, blesses. We're not converting. We're also probably not going to convert them, right? Like, that's not our job. We're going to let the Holy Spirit work in people's lives and hearts. But I think, again, like, there's a lot of people who are like, oh, you know, we celebrate this holiday, but we would never do anything for Ramadan, mm-hmm. you know, or for Hanukkah,
mm-hmm.
right? Because churches go, well, those aren't our holidays. But I would suggest that if you are part of the community, then they are. It's just a question of how you're choosing. Are you isolating yourself during them, or are you participating, or at least finding a way to be a support? I mean, maybe it's just simply writing a card on from your church to one of those other, you know, faith groups. Just because, again, it's just a way to continually remind the community that your presence there matters, because the community matters. And ultimately, God cares about all of us.
Yeah. And I saw, so we support a missionary in India. And she, because it was Diwali just recently.
Yeah.
Festival of Lights. And so she was participating in Diwali. And as a missionary in India, that's a great opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely.
To be able to not only kind of learn about your culture and the culture you're in, the community you're in, and the people you've been building relationships with, but also, you know, it's a festival of light, so there's opportunities there.
Yeah.
To say, like, hey, Jesus is the true light.
Yep.
This is what I believe, and this is what I trust in, and you know, just to be able to ask questions and listen and hear about, you know, because we were at an Indian restaurant on Sunday night, and
always a good decision.
It's great. And our waitress was telling us about Diwali, and kind of, I didn't really know too much about it, and she was explaining some of the stuff to us, and I was just like, I just wanted to listen,
yeah,
you know, and I just wanted to hear and understand. And then, because once you have an understanding of these things that you don't understand, you can be able to, the Holy Spirit can say, well, you know, you can share the gospel this way, and you can share the gospel this way, and you share the gospel this way.
Right.
So when it comes to like Halloween, we're not participating in the worship of Satan and his demons, you know, and Satan and his demons are not active just on this one day.
Right.
You know, because scripture says he is the prince of this world. And he's been that way for a long time.
I've always had a very kind of C.S. Lewis view of this kind of thing, right? You go to the last battle,
mm-hmm.
right? And Lewis, via Aslan, basically makes the distinction of between those people who do evil in the name of Aslan, and so it gets attributed to Tash, who is kind of the altar god, yeah. right? The altar force, if you would, representing, obviously, you know, the enemy. And of course, he also attributes those who do good works and positive things in the name of Tash as actually being attributed to Aslan. And I just find, like, the danger of Halloween is for people who get kind of a, you know, oh, we don't do that because that's the devil's night, and that would be witchcraft or participating in darkness, but then turn around the next day on November 1st and are horrible human beings.
Yeah.
Right? And that's where Primer goes, like, live it up a little on Halloween and throw on your costume and then actually go be a better person, right? Like, I think my frustration within Christian culture has been too often you get these just diatribes on why Halloween is still this evil, you know, no good Christian participates kind of moment. But then you go and, you know, the next rest of the week, these people are bitter, resentful, hateful, hurtful, uncaring, unloving. And you're like, yeah, I think you're missing the point.
Yeah, it's like, it doesn't give you excuse to be a jerk.
Right.
If you call out Halloween.
Right, yeah, call out Halloween for, yeah, holiday. And then living like a total troll is actually probably worse.
Yeah.
You know.
And also, I think
trolling for Jesus never does good.
No. And I think it also shows that,
well, that could be the name of our next podcast.
Trolling for Jesus.
That'll be our alternate podcast where we go under surnames. I'll be Beth Moore.
Okay. I'll be John MacArthur.
And you be John MacArthur, and we'll meet you next on Trolling for Jesus.
So, but I also think it's, if you are calling out these holidays and we can't participate in darkness and this and that, it also kind of shows like what kind of faith you have in the God that you claim you serve. Because, yeah, Satan is the prince of this world, as scripture says, but Satan has been defeated.
Yeah.
And his demons have been defeated. And why not shine a light in a dark place? Not just Halloween. We live in a fallen, dark world. So why not see every opportunity we can, take advantage of every opportunity we can to be that light for Jesus? Not to say that we should participate in everything, because like Paul says, you know, everything is not beneficial.
Yep.
You know, maybe permissible, but not beneficial. And he was talking to a group that was kind of saying, okay, what do we do with like food sacrifice to idols? How do we deal with that? Or how do we deal with this? And how do we deal with that?
Right.
And Paul was like, look, Paul was saying, like, if the Holy Spirit is convicting you, if the Holy Spirit is saying don't, then listen to the Holy Spirit.
Then listen to the Holy Spirit. Right. It's not about the legalism of it. It's about the conviction of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, so. Because Paul went into the temple.
Yep.
Paul went through some rituals and traditions of Judaism,
yep,
so that he wouldn't tick off all the Jews, so he could have the opportunity to share the gospel
correct
with them. Yep. So it's like, we can blast the community, we can point the fingers, we can point the fingers at our fellow brothers and sisters,
which is very pharisaical on the corner going, thank God I'm not like that sinner over there. I mean, that's what that is. Jesus called it out, we should call it out, because none of that does anything good for the kingdom of God.
Nothing. And it's better to participate,
yep,
as your convictions lead you.
Yes.
If you're really feeling the Holy Spirit saying don't do this, then don't do that. But if it's just giving out candy to kids in your neighborhood who are dressed up in their cute little costumes, why not?
Yeah.
You know, my kids get excited about I got three boys, they love Halloween.
Yeah.
And they love dressing up for Halloween.
My girls are actually, my oldest girl is no longer quite as into it as she's getting a little bit older.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's really more for them. It's more of a social thing. It's a hang out with the friends, yeah, get a chance to go out. It's really not even about the candy, because that's not hard to get, you know, especially once you start getting older, and, you know, both my girls, you know, have side jobs. They make, like, if they want a Snickers bar, they can go get it. So,
yeah.
But we should wrap this up, partially because I've got to go do my hair and piss off patriarchal old white guys. Hashtag Beth Moore. Go Beth. I love Beth.
I love Beth too. She's great.
But we'll wrap it up for today. We'll catch you all next week. Let us know, how did you celebrate Halloween? Give us your favorite, leave a comment and give us your favorite experience growing up, whether you were in or outside of the church, and whether it was amazing or terrifying. And we'll talk to you soon.
See ya.
Bye.